Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Every game is important.
They had pride. They had talent. They had hats and t-shirts.
That's why Isaac and Suk are ready to predict every NFL game's outcome with their usual laser-like accuracy.
They go so deep.
Football's football.
This is the Fans Pro Football Challenge, brought to you by Encore Audio Video. The Pro Football Challenge with Isaac and Suk on 1080.
Cut that meat.
The Fan.
All right, follow along at 1080thefan.com. NFL Challenge tab on there. You can play against all the fan personalities. Big Zook was leading the charge, but last week, only 2-1, winners on Pittsburgh and Arizona. You lost the Dallas game, so that puts you at 19-11 against the spread. Still very strong. But Lynch has taken the lead. He went 3-0 last week. He had Seattle, Atlanta, and Green Bay. So Mike Lynch's record is now 19-10-1.
Oh.
He had one poosh, so he leads you by a pubic hair. And then I am last at 10-20.
Wow.
We'll just gloss over that.
That was really uncomfortable.
My picks are revolting. So here are some bad picks. Are you ready? I get to go first since I'm in last. I'm going to go with Houston +4.5 to kick it off this week. Now, we are going off of point spreads from the scoreboard app.
Now, this scares me a little bit because this was my biggest play of the week. Love Houston in this getting points.
I would say great minds think alike, but...
I know, that worries
fade,
me.
Fade, fade, fade!
It's like, yeah!
So this clearly means that this is a terrible play, but Houston +4.5. I love the Texans here, and I love Deshaun Watson as an underdog. They are 6-1 against the spread as a road underdog. And I think that the Ravens are kind of like the Texans in that they're better as an underdog. When they're a big favorite, they are only 3-10 against the spread. So I think they're overvalued based on, of course, the win over New England, but then drubbing Cincinnati. I think the play is Houston +4.5. And so I will take the dog, gladly take the dog, Watson and Houston on the road in Baltimore.
I'm going to go with tonight. Now, I normally don't love taking road teams on Thursday night, but I've been kind of riding the Steeler bandwagon here the last couple weeks and been telling people that people that rode off Pittsburgh, no, Pittsburgh has a good offensive line, one of the best defensive lines in football. Minka Fitzpatrick has been huge and is playing at a defensive MVP level. And Mason Rudolph isn't great, but they're pulling an early Ben Roethlisberger with him, riding the offensive line, pounding the football. And I think Cleveland, by the way, Cleveland's a mess. Freddie Kitchens is not a good coach. And they're sitting there at 3-6, and to me, that is a more talented team than 3-6. But I think with Pittsburgh getting points, Pittsburgh, by the way, is a 3-point underdog, and maybe that accounts for the Thursday night thing. But if you're telling me that I can get the better team and points, I'll go ahead and overlook the Thursday road game and give me Pittsburgh.
My first pick is going to be the New England Patriots, who are 3.5-point favorites against the Eagles. Last time we saw New England, what was happening? They were losing bad to the Ravens, and then they went on bye. So coming off of a bye week after a bad loss, I have a feeling we're going to see a much improved New England team against this Philadelphia team, even though it is in Philadelphia. New England -3.5 is my first pick.
Okay, now this, I am going to go ahead and lock that in for you as a win because I am on Philly +3.5.
Oh, there you go.
There is not anyone who thinks the Eagles will cover. Therefore, I'll take the Eagles to cover. This seems... almost, it's one of those where it's like, wait, what? The Patriots, everybody's going to pile on the Patriots because, well, it's Bill Belichick off a loss. It's also Bill Belichick off a bye, and Philly has been topsy-turvy. But I'll go against the public on this. I think this is one of those where there's value on Philly because New England has only played one good team, and the one good team that they played, they got handled. They're getting older. All their wins are against average or bad teams. I think there's value on the Eagles here getting not only points at home, but the hook, the 3.5 hook. This is their Super Bowl. I think you're going to be able to get Philly at its best in this game. And so I will take a play on Philly plus 3.5.
My second one is going to be taking the Bucks plus 6 against New Orleans. Something is wrong with Drew Brees.
No, I can only give you 5.5 there.
5.5, it's already been bet down. In some places, it's at 5, but you can still find that some places it's 6. Five Dimes has it at 6, by the way, just saying.
By the way, that 6 number, just real quick before you get into your thing, did that burn you on that Seattle-Tampa game?
Yes.
When a game goes to overtime,
yeah. Nope.
That 6 and 5.5 number?
It was 5.5, and all I needed was Myers to kick the damn field goal, win it in regulation. The chump shanked it, went into overtime, and they scored the damn touchdown.
Because they don't kick extra points if you score a touchdown in overtime. So if you go to overtime and you score a touchdown to win the game, you win by 6.
Yeah,
so the 5.5-6 thing is actually a key number.
Yeah, I also had the Packers minus 5.5 last week, and I was very thankful that the Panthers got the goal line stuff.
By a fingernail.
Vice versa, I should say.
But something is wrong with Drew Brees. He kept wincing and was grabbing his side, and he was playing against the worst pass defense in the NFL, and they could do nothing. And I really do think there is something wrong with Drew Brees. I think he's banged up, and he's playing against the number one run defense, believe it or not, in the NFL, in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball. And if he really is dinged up, they can apply some pressure to him. I like Tampa Bay in this one. I don't think Tampa Bay wins this game. But to me, this is a field goal game with New Orleans coming off a bad loss on the road at Tampa. To me, with a banged up Drew Brees not being able to run the ball, I'll take the points in the Bucs.
My next pick is going to be the Los Angeles Rams minus 6.5 against the Chicago Bears. Now, I know this seems to be a pretty high number to take for a team that really struggled on offense last week, but last time they struggled on offense was against the Niners. They only scored 7 points and then came out and scored 37 points the next week. Now, I know it was against the Falcons defense, which is way worse than the Bears defense, but don't be fooled. The Bears defense has not been anywhere near as good lately as they were to start the season. This, to me, screams of a bounce-back game for the Rams. I think they're going to use Todd Gurley a lot more to get the balance back into the offense and give Jared Goff some play-action passes to get him some success. Also, Cooper Kupp, 0 catches last week. 0. That's not going to happen again. I think the Rams will blow out the Bears, so minus 6.5.
And my final pick will be the Jets plus 2.5. I'm seeing here that it is 2.5 now on scoreboard. I will gladly take that. A lot of places, it's like a pick 'em. The Jets are back on the winning track. Adam Gase got a vote of confidence from their owner. The Jets are just a better team. I mean, this is a crappy matchup, and I won't watch a lick of it. But the quarterback matchup clearly favors the Jets. Dwayne Haskins has played in 3 games, and they have 9 field goals. He has no touchdowns, 4 picks, and his quarterback rating is 42. So, come on, man.
So Dwayne Haskins, 400 yards passing this game?
The Jets' loss in Miami looks better because the Dolphins have covered 5 straight, and the Jets won last week. I think the Jets are better than Washington. Quarterback matchup favors them, so I'll gladly take the points with the New York Jets plus 2.5.
I'm going to take the Cardinals getting 10.5 on the road at San Francisco. San Francisco's offensive line continues to be a little wonky, and you saw what Seattle's front was able to do to them. And Arizona can actually get after the quarterback a little bit. Plus, Staley is out again after coming back with a bad leg injury. He's out with a banged up finger. And I kind of like Arizona. I think Arizona's competitive. I don't think they're good. But 10.5, I'll go ahead and gobble that up. I think Arizona loses by a touchdown. I'll gladly lay the points.
My final pick is going to be the Monday night game. That is Kansas City, who is on the Oregon app, a 4-point favorite. 3.5 other places that I'm seeing over the Chargers. So this was the toughest one for me. I didn't really have a third pick that I loved, but I'm going to go ahead and take Suk's advice and bet against the Chargers over and over and over and over again. Patrick Mahomes is back. He's going to have another full week to be back with this team. They looked a little bit iffy last week with him back, but I think they're going to win this game, so minus 4 for the Chiefs.
I cannot comment on that. I refuse to comment on Cowboy or Charger games when it comes to betting.
Well, your advice is not to bet against the Chargers. You've tried to
both
pick
sides.
The Charger game on either side, and you can't do
Same
it.
Same thing with the Cowboys. I do not think I've won. Maybe I've won with the Cowboys, but I think I have lost money, I want to say, 8, possibly 9 times combined between the Cowboys and Chargers this year.
This is the least confident pick that I have, and having the punishment of going last is forcing me to make this third one, so I like my first 2 a lot better.
There is something about teams that are just more unpredictable than others, right? Like, there just are those teams. Like, Dallas is weird.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. The Chargers, I don't know. A lot of people like to play them as an underdog because they're really good covering as an underdog. But they're, you know, like USC is one of these in college. Try predicting what the hell USC is going to do every week.
Yeah, it's right? Just, it's.
I think Cleveland's one of these. The Browns, I mean, like Mike said, the Bills. The Bills were an underdog going into Cleveland, and they didn't cover.
Well, I think,
and everybody's like, "Well, wait a minute, Cleveland," and now Cleveland's a favorite again. It's like I have no idea about tonight's game because Cleveland's so freaking weird.
Because Cleveland is one of those teams that's a lot like SC in that the talent on the field is a lot better than what they put out there.
Right. That's
and remember,
what I'm saying.
This Cleveland team, everyone's in love with the Ravens, and this is a Cleveland team that alley whipped the Ravens. They beat them by like 20.
So basically. We just outlined three or four teams that all have bad coaches, but a lot of talent.
Yes.
Like Clay Helton, Jason Garrett.
Freddie Kitchens.
Anthony Lynn, Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah.
Not great coaches, a lot of talent. Really unpredictable teams.
And teams that could easily be flipped around, I think, with proper leadership.
NFL Challenge is every Thursday at 4. All right, the sellout streak is over. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, in the news coming up next. A little bit later, we have Mike Francesa audio. Jason Quick joined us earlier.
Big deal.
Tomorrow, Joey Harrington and Colin Wilson, Action Network.
So much things.
Michael Rapaport was on Destiny and Cam today.
Why?
In studio. What do you mean, why?
I'm asking the question, why?
He's a big NBA guy. He was at the Blazers game last night.
Oh. Why? But
Rapaport's like an NBA analyst.
What?
He's doing comedy sets at the Helium.
Okay. That was my question.
Well, that too, but he's a big NBA guy. He's on a lot of sports shows.
I didn't
doing
know
NBA
Rappaport
talk.
Did stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't either, but right, well, apparently he does.
Well, you were looking at me like I had two heads when I was asking the question
You didn't know that Rappaport is like part of the sports sort of scene, right? Like he's always getting in fights with like
well, he's on Howard Stern and like he's a fantasy sports guy, but
he gets in fights with like who's those guys that do all the oh my god.
The Barstool guys?
Yes. He gets in fights with them or maybe he's on there or something. I don't know. He's a sports guy.
I just didn't know why Rappaport was
Mario
in
Cristobal
studio.
Was on the Dirt and Sprague show yesterday.
Why?
I mean, dude, The fan,
oh, little Mario.
The fan is just...
we're burning up right now.
This is crazy.
Something's hot.
All right. Notre Dame is taking on Navy tomorrow. Or, I mean, Saturday. Sorry.
Okay.
Whoa.
Are you all right over there?
Well, I just saw who won the AL MVP. Did you see that?
Didn't Mike have it in his...
Yeah, it was in my update.
Well,
update?
I didn't listen. That's how you get to that point.
Yeah.
Well, didn't hear it.
Bellinger won in the National League.
Yeah.
Although I saw the headline, it was weird. It said, first Dodgers since Clayton Kershaw.
That's kind of a dumb headline.
Yeah, I was
it
like...
It is a dumb headline.
I get it if it was like the first Dodgers since like Oral Hershiser or something, but Kershaw won it just a couple of years ago. It doesn't make any sense.
No, it really doesn't. Yeah, Chris Taylor didn't win it.
What? First Dodgers since. All right.
Mike Trout won.
Yeah. Why were you...
Because I thought Bregman was a lock.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a real...
It was close.
Yeah.
But I thought...
I thought it was...
I thought Bregman would win, but Trout deserved to win.
I was more surprised, honestly, with the...
a very bro-y
with
MVP.
Verlander over Cole. But again, I thought that was kind of...
I thought Trout's injury was going to cost him.
Right.
Because it cost Yelich, I think.
And
Yelich
the
was
Astros,
better than Bellinger, I thought.
Astros, you know, went... Damn near all the way. Yeah. But anyway, a very bro-y MVP race, right? You get Bellinger, Trout, Bregman, bro.
That is
all those bros.
That is very bro-y. Is this Trout's third?
Seventh.
Three, maybe? Anybody? Sports?
Yes, sports.
Can some,
I don't know. We'll look it up.
I gotta look it up. Hold on.
You have an internet? Look it up. Sports guy?
Searching in the article. Yeah, number three. How old is he? Is he 27?
I don't know. Why don't you look it up?
Do you know
sports
nothing about
oh,
Mike
up.
Trout? God, what is your deal?
I know he's got a sister.
He's 28 years of age.
Greatest player from our generation.
Three MVPs. When that's all said,
I do like to watch him play baseball.
I wish he got more coverage. He's so good.
Well, I wish he played somewhere other than the crappy Angels. But he is one of those guys that we went and saw him 2 years in a row up in Seattle. And he is one of those guys that when you watch him play in person, yeah. It just, because sometimes in baseball, you can get kind of hidden out there if you don't have a big game. He is one of those guys that stands out in person as something, you know, you're watching something special.
Okay.
He's our generation's Mickey Mantle.
Yeah. When the numbers back it up and you wonder if he'll have an appreciation, because the last guy that was like this, like Albert Pujols, if you look up Pujols' first like 8 seasons, you can make an argument that it's the greatest start to a career in baseball history. And I don't think that Pujols gets talked about the way that he should, the way his numbers suggest that he should be put in that company.
Yeah, Rappaport goes on Cowherd Show too.
Okay.
And he's in the NBA Celebrity Game. That's how you should know him.
Yeah. Well,
you love that game.
Absolutely. I just didn't know that he was a stand-up comedian. I didn't know why he was in Portland.
Originally an actor, right?
Yes. See, that's what I know him as.
Now he's funny.
Okay.
Suddenly. Okay, so Notre Dame's playing Navy, and what they're saying about that game is that the sellout streak at Notre Dame is over.
Really? Now, is this like when the Blazers had a sellout streak, or is this an actual real streak?
You never really know.
Yeah, you can't tell me that Notre Dame was playing Rutgers somewhere like in the middle of the year a couple years back.
Well, I don't know, man.
And
Notre Dame sold out. Notre Dame, I think it would be. I mean, their fans, they've got a lot of fans.
That's a lot of milk.
A lot of milk. And so their streak of sellouts, consecutive sellouts, dates back to 1973.
But 273 games, if the internet is correct. And that was against Air Force, and it was on Thanksgiving Day, which probably played a role in it not being sold out.
Right. Well, they're not going to have a sellout crowd for the Navy game. And right now it seats like 77,000 or something. They expanded it. It used to be 59,000. Now it's 77,000.
Is that the longest?
No, Nebraska. Remember Nebraska's? Theirs ended under Mike Riley, I think. But
congratulations.
373, I think.
No, I'm saying was the Notre Dame one the current longest?
I think it is, yeah. Second.
I wonder who's up next.
Behind Nebraska. All time, though.
Who's next crappy football team? And Notre Dame isn't even crappy. That's the thing.
I know. It's kind of weird that it's ending now. It's a little random.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to state that I think that have you ever been to a game there?
No.
I think it's overrated.
I've heard that. People say that in like the Big House. Is
I've never been to the Big House.
What was wrong with the Touchdown Jesus?
You know, it was, well, first of all, South Bend is not good. And I think you think like Notre Dame,
bold statement.
Well, Notre Dame has like this,
there's a mystique about it.
Yeah. And when you get there, you're like, this is Notre Dame. And then you go into the stadium. And again, now granted, they were playing Kansas and it was a blowout. But it was just kind of, there wasn't much, just wasn't that great. Wasn't that nice? Wasn't that loud? Wasn't that interesting?
A year after I left, my former team went and played at Notre Dame. And so I knew a bunch of guys that were still there and they raved about it. They thought it was great. So at least from a player,
what was the game?
From a player standpoint, what do you mean? Well, I only played at one university, so.
That's true.
Yeah.
Stupid question.
Yeah. BYU.
Well, I was only half listening to you.
Yeah.
But anyway, I thought it was overrated, and I put it up there with Cameron Indoor as overrated sports venues. Yeah. Hmm. Because Cameron Indoor, if you've never been there, is very small.
Yeah.
And so it's not, it's way smaller than you think. And it's, especially if it's not a big game there, they're a little spoiled.
See, I would like to go see a game at Notre Dame. I don't know if it's like number one on my list, but that would be high up. If you told me I could go see
any college football game, you'd go there.
No, I said it wouldn't be number one. You don't listen to me at all.
I try not to.
No,
but, what would you give me your rankings?
I just said it won't be number one, but it would be up there. Of places I haven't been.
Yeah.
I would like to see a game, and I'm talking a big game, because right now they suck, but I would like to see a game at Nebraska. I would like to see a game at Tennessee in, is it Neyland or Nyland? I think it's Neyland Stadium. Neyland. I'd like to
no
go,
D though.
I'd like to go see that. And then you keep hearing time and time again. My number one on my list would be night game, LSU, Death Valley.
Yeah. Awesome.
Heard from
awesome.
I know a handful of people and they just absolutely rave about
well,
it.
Well, they party.
Yeah. And that it's just
I mean they party.
They tell you it's like nothing you've ever seen.
Okay. What's your what's the best place you've been?
College Stadium?
Yeah.
Tuscaloosa.
Oh, that's right. Because yeah. You played there.
Played there. It was unreal. Never like you get used to it when you come out of the tunnel for like pregame. The stadiums are usually half full no matter where you go. And I remember jogging out and, you know, we played in some loud places. You know, Husky Stadium was loud back in the day and, you know, Florida State. And but you jog out at Alabama and you're an hour before a kick and the place is packed. Like everyone is there in their seats and it is so loud. You're like, holy crap. And then you come out for the actual game. And you're like, oh, it wasn't loud.
This is loud.
This is loud.
Did you think it was fun to watch the Alabama fans come to grips with the fact that they were losing a home game last
week? Yes, they just had.
Oh, my God.
Except did you see here locally, actually there was two shootings. One resulted in a death. An Alabama fan shot an LSU fan down there, killed him. And then here in Bend, two lifelong friends got in an argument over the game while watching it. And the one friend shot the other in the back of the head with a shotgun. It was birdshot. Finished watching the game, then called the 911 and the police.
God.
Yeah. That was here in Bend.
One stadium that doesn't get talked about in this breath a lot, but should, is go to West Point.
Yeah.
Oh. Go see Army.
Have you been there?
I have, yeah. It's fantastic.
See, I always want to see the Army-Navy game, and it bums me out that they play it now like in Philadelphia. I wish they would play it at one of the academies.
Yeah, why don't they do that? They should. Don't they play it at that dumpy stadium in Philly?
Well,
the veteran.
CenturyLink.
Oh, they play it there?
Or yeah,
Veterans Stadium is gone.
Yeah, Veterans Stadium.
Oh, they blow
gone.
That thing up.
Yeah, it's CenturyLink.
That was a terrible stadium.
It's CenturyLink, right?
Lincoln Financial.
Field. Lincoln Financial.
T-Mobile. AT&T. what were we talking about?
Stadiums.
Oh,
Notre Dame.
We were talking about the camera panning to Alabama fans losing.
Yes, it
at
was
home.
Fantastic.
That was great. I couldn't get enough of that. They're just so flabbergasted that they're losing a game.
Yeah.
Well, what that must be like.
It doesn't happen. It does not happen very often.
Trust me, I'm a Kansas fan. I know what it's like. But it's funny to watch them like, oh my God, we're losing at home.
Yeah. To see when
it's awesome.
When Alabama scored the final touchdown there that they had on the whatever it was, the 75-yard pass, to see their hopes just go up and then be dashed away, that was fun. Just anytime you see an emotional roller coaster like that, it's.
I also like watching Nick Saban pout and be all bitchy.
Well, you wonder too. Because
he gets all he throws his arms up like he gets flabbergasted down there and just like it's like, dude, you're a douche.
That's your hot, Nick Saban take.
He's a douche. I love watching him lose. I mean, there are some coaches that handle it really well on the sideline. You know, they're just like.
And people asking favorite Pac-12 stadium.
Not
first
him.
Off, there's not many good ones. There just isn't. Oregon and UW both have good environments. The best place I've ever seen a Pac-12 game or played in was the old Husky Stadium. New Husky Stadium is really nice. It's not the same. Old Husky Stadium was a really, really great environment. But those are the two best, Husky Stadium and Autzen. And underrated is a big game up at WSU, Martin Stadium. When that place is rolling, like last year when they played Oregon game day, that is a great environment. But there's not many really good ones, honestly, in the Pac-12.
Why does it seem like when they build a new stadium, even though you have rabid fan bases, that the old stadium was crazy and the new stadium never is?
I don't know.
Why does that happen? That's true of San Francisco, too. I went to an old Niners game. You ever been to the Stick for a Niners game?
Yeah.
They're crazy, man.
Way better than that's what's happened in it.
Same as the new US. Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. Yankees the same.
Look
at Matthew Knight Arena.
Which is such a beautiful arena, and it doesn't hold a candle to old Matt Court.
I think the big thing is that the new stadiums are all corporate. They build it for all the boxes, and they try to get as many sponsorable things in there. And oftentimes, the seats are further away, or they're not as easy. They're just not as fun to sit in.
It's more comfortable.
Yeah.
But it takes away from the feel of a big time environment, maybe is what.
Yes.
Well, and if you
Mike
look,
is saying,
and I would tend to agree with that. And if you look through the Pac-12, I have been to a game in every either played or seen a game in every Pac-12 stadium, and both Arizona schools, those environments aren't good. And
Arizona State isn't when it's cooking. Don't they have like 80,000 down there?
It looks like a cool stadium, like in the mountain, right?
It's not. It's not anything special. We played there when they were good, and I'm telling you, the thing was half full, and it's not loud. There's hot chicks.
Ooh.
But neither one of the Arizona schools is a great environment.
Points for that.
Cal and Stanford both suck. UCLA, unfortunately, they never filled that thing, and it's dull.
When they were good, though?
Again,
Rose Bowl, I mean, come on, man.
The Rose Bowl, if you go see a game at the Rose Bowl, but go see a game at UCLA, even when they were winning 9-10 games, that is not a great environment. Utah and Colorado, those are both pretty solid. Utah, now that Utah is good, that's an underappreciated.
Rice Eccles
is actually a pretty good place to watch or see a game. And Colorado would be if they were to get good again. Because, again, back in the day when Colorado was good, that is a great. It's a great scene, a great setting.
Our text line is awesome. One text, Rice Eccles, worst stadium. Next one, Rice Eccles, awesome.
I don't know how you could say that's the worst.
Yeah,
stadium.
Why would that be the worst?
It's not even,
by the way,
it's not even close.
On the Colorado tip, yo.
Yeah.
I've been to a game there. It is awesome there. Great setting in Boulder. I was looking at this the other day. They had the Pac-12 attendance rankings on Twitter or something. Colorado's number one in terms of percentage capacity.
Really?
They're like over, they're number one in the Pac-12, that is, in like, they're 106% a game.
Get
like
right the hell out of town.
They pack that place. Mel Tucker, baby. Get on board.
Boy, that blows me away because Colorado isn't very good.
They love their football.
Worst environment in the Pac-12, unfortunately, when things aren't going well at Oregon State and Cal. And it's just, it's a big stadium and it's empty and they don't get a lot of support and it's pretty.
Okay. Coming up next in the news, first, Mike Sports.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, we had a mistake in the last segment when I said Nebraska's consecutive sellout streak ended under Mike Riley. It did not.
No?
Where have you guys been?
So they're still rolling?
Still going. 373 consecutive sellouts at Nebraska, which is unbelievable. And I will say, that is an awesome, and I mean awesome place to watch a football game. I went and watched Kansas Air years ago, went up there, because, you know, they always say, it's like, yeah, you got to go up there. So it's like, all right, KU's playing up there. We went up there as students. And I tell you what, man, they lost by like 40. But when you're sitting in the stands, and the crowd's kind of getting stirred up, because they're all in their seats right before the game, and they're getting stirred up, and like you said, it's like, oh, this is really loud. And then, so all the Kansas players are out warming up on the field. Nebraska's not out yet. And the big old Jumbotron and everything, they show Tom Osborne. All that happens is Tom Osborne stands there with his arms folded, and he's just staring. He's up into the tunnel, and you can see his silhouette, and then he comes forward, and you see his face, and then all you see behind him are bouncing white helmets.
Yeah.
They were done. Done. The second they're all out there running around like, oh, don't look up there at that.
A little fear pee.
Oh my God, it was so cool. And then the music starts playing or whatever it is they do, and they run out onto the field and you're dead.
I think my brother played there when Nebraska was in their heyday. In fact, I think that was the first of their back-to-back championships. Tommy Frazier, if I'm not mistaken, when they played him. And my brother played there in Tennessee, and he always goes 1-2. And I think he gives Nebraska the nod.
Over
Tennessee. Best place he's ever played.
All right, it is November 14th, 2019. It is time for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Local news you can use. Hey, I love today because it is, well, two things. I love pickles. Do you like pickles?
I don't mind pickles. I'm not going to say I love pickles, but in the right setting, they can be quite tasty.
I'm a big pickle guy.
Yeah.
It's National Pickle Day.
Oh.
It is also Loosen Up, Lighten Up Day.
Thank God.
And we need more of that.
Yes, we do.
So for those of you that have a stick up your ass, not today, okay?
Deep breath, everybody. Deep breath.
Airport news. Let's go to Airport Mike
for
his commentary.
Hot terminal news.
Yes. Today is the day that Concourse A at PDX is closed.
The beloved
it's over.
Concourse A?
The beloved Concourse A.
Let's all go to the basement. Yay.
How many times did you have sex in Concourse A? Oh.
Whoa.
Whoa.
That's zero for me.
That would also be a zero.
Yeah,
for
I went
me.
Over there too.
I can't.
Wasn't for a lack of trying.
I can't think of many places that are less sexy than an airport.
It will be demolished.
Garbage dump?
Yeah.
Wow. What if there's a nice couch?
Yeah.
You know, somebody dumped a couch. It doesn't look too bad. You're like, oh.
Brush it off a little bit
hey,
there.
Hey, babe.
All those bed bugs are now off. I just wiped it down with my hand.
So now the Alaska Horizon flights will be in Concourse C. Take note. The new Concourse B will be done by summer of 2021. So no more Concourse A.
No, it's gone. And no one will give a rip because that.
So it's going to be Concourse B, C, D, and E.
Yeah.
No A.
No A. Isn't that odd?
That is a bit odd.
You'd think they would shift it.
Yeah, you would just bump everything down, although you probably have to re-sign stuff, and it's probably just easier to eliminate A.
That's true.
Do you remember Chris Herron? The
Chris
basketball
Herron.
Player?
Did he have like a drug problem?
Yes.
Yes, I do remember Chris Herron.
I think
then.
He was at Ohio State. And then he played in the NBA. But he was in town last night. Speaking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was a speaker. He spoke at Rolling Hills Community Church in Tualatin.
Where did you say he played?
I think it's Ohio State, but I may be wrong. He wrote a book. Then he got to the NBA.
He was with the Celtics, right?
Yep. He was in Boston, and there was one other stop, and he said that he got hooked on the oxys. Well, booze and other things, too, but it was cocaine in college.
People love cocaine.
And then he got hooked on oxys once he got into the NBA. He said... Said you needed it to continue to play that tough of a schedule. You needed oxys, and so then he got hooked on oxys, and then it ruined his career, nearly killed him. He got in a car accident. They pronounced him dead for like 30 seconds, but he lived, and now he's sober. He's been sober for like 10, 11 years, and he was in town last night speaking at a church.
He played at Boston College and at Fresno State.
Ah, BC and Fresno.
He was only at BC for a year, and then he got kicked out. Drug test. He failed the cocaine and the marijuana.
Okay. Okay, so coming up next, I have a story. FBI aliens murder in Oregon.
That sounds about right.
All in one. 449 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, our final story for In the News today. Is the story of Bob Lazar. He's a fella.
I'm familiar with Bob Lazar.
Do you know Bob?
I do. Well, I don't know him personally, but...
You know of him?
I know of him. I've read a book about Bob Lazar. And
so you know a little bit about this.
I do. I actually know quite a bit about it.
Interesting. Okay, so it'll be interesting to get your take on this. Okay, so Bob Lazar is a name that most people don't know. He looks a lot like...
Stephen King.
Exactly. He does look like Stephen King. So Bob Lazar... back in the 80s, he claims that he worked. There's no evidence of this, by the way. You may have more information having read a book about this, but this story I read said that there's no evidence that he's ever set foot on Area 51.
That's not true.
Okay.
Far from it.
But when he worked, he says he worked there.
Yes, and he did. He said he works at an area. He worked at the installation, but the Area 51 is a much broader.
Okay.
S4. He worked at the installation.
So S4 is an unconfirmed section.
Yes.
So it's like the deep, deep, dark Area 51. And he supposedly worked in there. Nobody's been down there. Nobody's ever seen it, whatever. Anyway, he worked on recovering extraterrestrial spacecraft for the U.S. government.
Yes.
That was his job.
Yes.
The deep, deep, dark part of Area 51.
He said he was trying to... Basically, he was in charge of reverse engineering alien technology that had crashed and they couldn't figure out how it worked and they were trying to reverse engineer it.
So he says that the U.S. government is now waging an all-out war on him because he kept something called... A material from his time working there. He stole it, called Element 115.
Yeah.
And he claims it was used to power an alien spacecraft. And he stole it. So this is probably the book that you read about.
Yeah.
So he has repeatedly hinted that he took a piece of it from Area 51 and that It's of great interest to the feds. Well, guess what just happened recently?
Uh-oh.
And by the way, Bob is no longer, of course, working for the government.
No.
He has a company called United Nuclear Scientific, and this is 30 years after he worked at Area 51. He was in Michigan with it, but he's moving it to Oregon. So that's where the Oregon tie-in is. He's bringing his business here. But he recently, at his store or at his place in Michigan, the feds raided it.
Did they really?
Yes.
Did they find anything?
Well,
or if they did, I'm sure they wouldn't say anything.
Well, right. So the conspiracy theorists are that they are looking for element 115 that he stole from Area 51. However, Vice News got a hold of the search and seize report or whatever report it was that they had to file. And they said that it had nothing to do with that. Of course, conspiracy theorists aren't going to believe this.
Yeah.
But the element that they collected from United, whatever it was, Scientific,
his business.
United Nuclear Scientific, was an element called thallium. And apparently there was a woman whose husband collected elements, and thallium is one of them, and it's highly toxic, this element. And he died, and she wanted to sell his element collection. She sold it to Bob. Bob bought it, and thallium was then sold from his company to somebody who eventually killed someone with it.
Oh, boy.
So it's a murder investigation about thallium that came from Bob's business.
I'll be damned.
However, no one buys this. Everyone thinks, including Bob, that they're covering up the idea that they are looking for element 115 that Bob stole from his days working in the deep, dark Area 51.
Dude, that is...
Now, how do you feel about that?
That is fascinating. Let me just say this. I don't know whether Bob Lazar is telling the truth or not. I ended up down a rabbit hole, and it was, you know, one of those where you end up reading something, you see some interviews. I think he was recently on Joe Rogan as well. I think he was on that podcast.
I love that podcast.
I find Bob Lazar, believe it or not, to be fairly credible. That doesn't mean I believe everything he says.
So what is he? He's claiming that there is an alien spacecraft.
Multiple, yes.
That crashed.
Yes.
That from it, they kept... He's claimed this, that he stole a piece of the spacecraft...
And
they don't know what it, like,
an element that was used to power it, like anti-gravity type devices. He was only able to work on one thing. He said the way they kept people separated is you did not get to work on alien spacecraft. You got to work on one part of it,
right,
and they kept everyone separated.
That makes sense.
He's an interesting guy. Whether or not it's all true, I find him to be fascinating.
So why did the feds raid his company?
Well, either he's killing people or he's got the goods.
Well, he claims that the thallium was sold out of his... I mean, he's not denying any of that. He's like, yeah, I bought that package of elements. So we'll see. I'll follow up on this for you. Go ahead there. Sook's got to take a crap. Wow, look at that.
Just up and gone.
He's out.
Hey, we've all been there.
Oh, dude, I've been there more than he has.
I know.
He has...
Especially during the show.
He's never done that before.
No, he didn't.
He's literally not sitting there. You think he's like sitting there being quiet? This is a bit. No, no. He was like, I got to go. And he just ran
gone.
Out.
Yeah.
So we'll give him some time to poop, because that's no good. You know, you're sitting there and...
Yeah, we got a couple minute break plus my update. So that'll be,
He should have time, but let's give him a little breather. How do you feel about this Bob Lazar story?
It's really interesting. I love this kind of stuff just because I like to turn off the logic part of my brain and just say, what if? Right?
Yeah.
Because you look at it and you're like, okay. All right, Mr. Crazy Man. But it's the same thing when you watch some of these like alien documentaries on like History Channel. You're like, look, that's really dumb. Or what if it's true, right? And it's just more interesting now.
Well, he read a book about him. He says he's believable. I don't know, man.
Well, people can be believable. You can sound really credible.
Well, that's kind of a hedge, too. He's does he have this from an alien spacecraft? Really? Really? The answer is...
Like I said, logically, the answer is no. But it's fun to think that what if he does? Because I think that's the most interesting thing about all this kind of stuff. And it's the same with the deep sea as well. We don't know anything about it. Or we know very little about it. So when some of this stuff comes out and you're like, well, there's obviously a billion things up there that we have no idea. What if that's actually true?
True.
Like, what if you can actually go into a black hole and show up behind a bookshelf like an Interstellar? And then change dimensions.
Fantastic.
Great movie.
All right. That is in the
Have
news.
Have you seen that movie?
What? Interstellar? Probably not.
Great
movie. If I have, it's been years.
Matthew McConaughey.
November 14th, 2019. Okay, we gave Suk a little bit of a cushion. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have the Hot 5 at 5. Today, the Major League Baseball MVPs were announced. The James Wiseman saga has taken another turn. And more on the Colin Kaepernick workout next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.